Kave Tuchya Hove. Samsara Vasana means desire for material enjoyment, and Narottam Das wonders when it will become very insignificant. Of course, as long as we have bodies, we have to accept so many material things, but not in the spirit of enjoyment, but only to keep body and soul together. Narottam Das says further, Rupa Raghunath Pade Hoive Akuti. When shall I be very much eager to study the books left by the six Goswamis? Akuti means eagerness. Because Rupa Goswami is the father of devotional service, he has written a book called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in which there are nice directions on devotional service. These topics are also dealt with in Chaitanya Charitamrita and other books. And we have given the summary of those directions in our book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. One has to learn of the conjugal loving affairs of Radha and Krishna through the teachings of these six Goswamis. Narottam Das Thakur directs us not to try to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna by our own endeavor. We should try to understand this yugala priti, conjugal love, under the direction of the Goswamis. As long as the mind is too much absorbed in materialistic thought, one cannot enter into the kingdom of Vrindavan. But Narottam Das Thakur says, Visaya Charya Kave Suda Have Mana Kave Hama Hereva Sri Vrindavana. When the mind is completely purified, being freed from material anxieties and desires, then I shall be able to understand Vrindavan and the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, and then my spiritual life will be successful.
Thank you. Glory to Bhaktivedanta Swamiraj, Srila Prabhupada
Ki Jai.
Gaura Premanande
Ki
Jai. All glory to the Swami Krishna. All glory to Sri Guru.
Shri
Guru.
Oma Ganajvananda Sya Ganajana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Mahayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shri Gura Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gura Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagridatam Sadhana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Vitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dhinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishubhana Sita Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Padidavane Yo Vaishnave Yo Moma Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadwaita Gadadhar Srivastavi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Kachanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Kachanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
So reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 8, Talks Between the Lord and Ramananda Roy, text number, I guess on the board is 294. I'll just read 292 in English and 293. For ten nights, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy spent a happy time discussing the pastimes of Krishna. The conversations between Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu contain the most confidential subject matters touching the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, Brajabhumi. Although both talked at great length about these pastimes, they could not reach the limit of discussion. Text 294. Tama Kamsa Rupa Sona Ratna Kintamani Keha Yadi Kahum Hota Haya Eka Hani Tama Kamsa Rupa Shona Ratna Chintamani Keha Yari Kaha Pota Paya Eka Kani
Keha Yari Kaha Pota Paya Eka Kani
Kamsa Kamsa Rupa Sona Ratna Chintamani. Jehayari Kahan Prota Paya Eka Kani. Kama Kamsa Rupa Sona Ratna Chintamani. Kehayari kaham pahotok faya ekakani. Ladies, Chintamani. The best of all metals, touchstone. Keha, somebody. Yadi, if. Kaham, somewhere. Pota, buried. Paya, finds. Ekakani, in one place. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami to the Prabhupada. Actually, these conversations are like a great mine wherefrom one can extract all kinds of metal. Copper, bell metal, silver, gold, base metals, and all others. They are like a touchstone buried in one place. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Although Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the following summary of the conversations between Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Roy replied to 5 questions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated in verses 57 to 67. The first answer is compared to copper, and the fifth answer is most valuable because it deals with unalloyed devotion, the ultimate goal of devotional life, and illuminates the preceding 4 subordinate answers. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that in Brajabhumi there is the Jamuna River with its sandy banks. There are kandamba trees, cows, Krishna's sticks, with which he herds cows, and Krishna's flute. All these belong to the Santa Rasa, the mellow of neutrality and devotional service. There are also the direct servants of Krishna, named Chitrika, Patrika, and Raktika. And these are the embodiments of service in the mellow of servitude. There are also the friends like Sridham, Sudama, and others who embody service and fraternity. Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda are the embodiments of parental love. Above all these is Srimati Radharani and her assistants, the gopis Lalita, Vishaka, and others. In this way, all the 5 mellows Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya exist eternally. They are also compared to metals like copper, bell metal, silver, gold, and touchstone. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj therefore refers to a metal mine eternally existing in Vrindavan, Brajabhumi. Namam Vishnu Viraya Krishna Prasthai Vudhaya Srimade Bhakti Viranta Swami Tanamani Namaste Sarasapunde Ve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Pasikatya De Sadarne. This is the end of the Madhya Leela, chapter 8. We're coming to it. When I left, we were in the middle of it. That was 7 months ago. So there's obviously a long chapter. I guess it's the longest chapter in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And as explains here, there are five on one side. One side meaning that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda Roy how to obtain the perfection of life. And he gave five answers where Lord Chaitanya, first of all, said, Eka Bhaya. These things are external. External doesn't mean that he was against them, because 5,000 years ago, or 4,500 years ago, before that he had quoted the same verses in his Bhagavad Gita, or when he was speaking to Arjuna. Therefore, he was not against the philosophy that Ramananda Roy was initially propounding, how to attain the perfection of life. But he just felt, as Srila Prabhupada says in his purports, that to try to attempt this methodology of self-realization in Kali Yuga would not be practical. People would not be able to take to such a process, except for the fifth verse, as Prabhupada says, that he accepted as practical for Kali Yuga. And then after that, he begins to explain about the five different rasas, because that's practical for every yuga. But first you have to get to the fifth stage before we can understand about rasa. And as you might remember, first of all, Ramananda Roy, he gave the opinion that the method of self-realization is vana and ashram. And the verse was quoted, vanashrama charitaha purushena pumak puman vishnu aradite panta nanya no toshi karana. That one can obtain the perfection of life by the execution of one's prescribed duties. This is known as dharma, or religiosity. Even in the Western world, sometimes people think that their work is their religion. Well, in the Veda culture, people actually believed that their work was their religion. But it wasn't ordinary work. It was actually, everyone had a certain duty, ultimately meant for sacrifice. That everyone's duty, more or less, was geared around performing sacrifices. And the idea of sacrifice in the Vana and Ashram system is that people understood that the universe works by sacrifice. That the rain comes from performance of sacrifice. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Anad Bhavati Bhutani Parjana Anasambhava. That all the living entities, they subsist on food grains. Because we may have everything else, but if we don't have food, we'll not be very happy. For instance, today is the Sunday feast, and we celebrate the Sunday feast practically everywhere within ISKCON. Of course, people may not know why we have a Sunday feast. It's not that we particularly value Sunday as opposed to any other day, and therefore we have a feast because today is Sunday. But it was originally called a love feast. And it was given on Sunday because most people have their days off on Sunday. And the whole idea was to attract people to come to the temple so they could hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and eventually take up the process of pure devotional service. And of course, people did come to the temple because not so much to hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but they came for the feast. If we had a Sunday feast without a feast, I don't think we'd get very many people coming to the Sunday feast. the first Sunday feast, when I used to go back, I was living in Buffalo, New York, upstate, which is far away from here. But I used to go on sometimes on my vacation, because I was a student, we'd go back to New York. And one time I went to one of the New York feasts. It was at this one. They had moved to 61 Second Avenue, a little bit down the block from 26 Second Avenue. And I got there, and I was foolish enough to line up for the Sunday feast with everyone else. But all the devotees lined up first. And by the time they got to the guests, including me, because I was supposed to be a devotee also, at least trying to be a devotee, there was no prasadam left. The devotees had eaten everything. Because the devotees were more enthusiastic about the Sunday feast than anyone else. Luckily, my friend, at that time his name was Rohini Kumar, he took me in the back, because he had stashed away some Simply Wonderfuls. So my Sunday feast turned out to be 5 Simply Wonderfuls. In any case, the idea is that people like prasadam. They like food in general. Food is the basic principle of existence. And without food, people can't be happy or satisfied. But food doesn't come out of a factory, nor does milk come out of a carton in the store. That milk and food and all other grains, they come from rain. And rain doesn't come automatically either, although people think like that. It just so happens there's clouds and they rain down, and somehow or another things grow, all by accident. But they come from, rain comes from the performance of sacrifice. So people can't understand that. That there are demigods and there's a god above the demigods. This is Krishna even told his father that. What's called karma amongst the philosophy. Atheistic philosophy, but before the Govardhan Puja, when he was preaching to his father. But at least he didn't leave out the demigods. He didn't say everything comes automatically. But he understood that there is higher control. As I gave the example before, that in Russia when they invaded France, they discovered, this is during the Napoleonic Wars, they discovered that in France they had a very nice arrangement for getting water. People would simply go to a tap and turn it and water would come out of a pipe. So they thought, this is fantastic. Our grandparents and relatives, they all loved to see this. So they pulled all the pipes out of the wall, put them in their knapsack, and walked back to Russia. And of course, by the time they got back to Russia, they called all their friends and relatives, and they gathered around, they stuck the pipe into the wall, and then they turned the little tap, and they waited for the water to come out. And they were all quite surprised that somehow or another it worked for the French, but it didn't work for them. Because they didn't understand there was an arrangement made by which the water was coming out of the pipe. They thought it was just, the pipe was sufficient. They didn't understand that intelligent people had made an arrangement. Similarly, the water in the universe doesn't come about by accident, neither does the air or the light or anything else. People are thinking this huge ball of fire, thousands of times bigger than the earth, is just floating in the air by accident. Just in the right spot all the time to give us the right amount of heat and light so we survive on this planet. Accidents are so kind. And if you tell people it's not an accident, there is a person who's driving it, they get all upset. Oh, you superstitious person, you know, mythological. There's someone driving the sun. Oh, yes. Because if you see a car driving down the street and you say, well, dear sir, there's no one in the car. Of course there's someone in the car. How would it run if there's not a person in the car? It would just crash into a wall. How could it run so nicely? But when they see the sun, which is unlimitedly more sophisticated than any car we can make, much more useful to us, but still they say it's just driving along by accident. And of course, if you ask them, what's the difference, as I usually do on book distribution, this book tells you the difference between a living body and a dead body. Do you know what the difference is? We ask people. And 90% of the people have no idea what the difference between a living body and a dead body. Although they think they know everything already, what's going on in the universe, because they went to school and they read about it in the newspaper, but still they don't know the difference between a living body and a dead body. Of course, some people, around 10%, say there's a soul in a living body. The others say, well, the difference between a living body is that a living body is alive and a dead body is dead. I can't deny that. They got that much right. But then I just say that just like if you have a car, and within the car there's a person who's driving. So as long as you have a driver, then the car moves along. But as soon as the driver leaves the car, then the car doesn't work anymore. So the difference between a living body is that it has a driver in it. You go, oh, that makes sense. That's pretty good. Something to tell our children when we get back home. So similarly, the universe doesn't act by accident. There's drivers behind everything in the universe. And Varnan Ashram recognizes that if we want to get the basic necessities of life, we have to perform sacrifice. In modern society, people don't know what is really valuable. They think if they have a big house, or if they have a nice car, or if they have so many different things, they'll be happy. But actually, sense gratification, real sense gratification, begins with nice, clean air, fresh water, nice food, nice relationships, peaceful mind. That's real sense gratification. And the Vayan Ashram is to provide that. That's what it's meant for, so that with the least possible effort, people get the necessities of life, so they can be peaceful and ultimately achieve happiness by getting free from the material concept of life. So the peacefulness of getting the necessities of life, that's the varna, and the happiness coming from getting free from the material concept of life is the ashram. So varna and ashram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected, because generally speaking, as we see in India, whatever is left of the varna and ashram, people take it as something external. It's because people think it's a caste system. They don't understand the scientific basics behind it, because the God consciousness behind it has more or less been lost, and therefore has become something like a caste system. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, Eko Baya, and then he said, if you know something better, then tell me. So the next thing he says, or Ramananda Roy quoted, was Yadya. Yat kuroshi yat ashnasi yat jahosi didasi yat yat tapasi kunti yat tat kurusham anarpana. That perform the varna and ashram system, do your duty, but the results of the work you offer to Krishna. Make it a God-centered varna and ashram, known as daivi varna ashram. But Lord Chaitanya didn't think that was very good either, because even you offer it to Krishna, still the defect is it's in the material world, and Lord Chaitanya himself was coming from the spiritual world. This is what Srila Prabhupada said when in the 1977 he was saying we have to institute Vana and Ashram. And Harisari Prabhu and Satsarup Maharaj were there. And they said, but Prabhupada, you kept on saying it was external, or Lord Chaitanya saying it was external. And he said, yes, for Lord Chaitanya, he was coming from the spiritual world, it's external. But we're in the material world. Therefore, for us, or for the people in general, it's not external, it's necessary. And indeed, in most of Prabhupada's books, we find, except for in the Nectar Devotion, where Prabhupada said, in this age, we don't have to execute Vana and Ashram, we can simply take to Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada said that most people won't be able to do that so easily. Therefore, Vana and Ashram is valuable if it can be instituted, valuable to help people, whatever consciousness they're on, to gradually increase it. But still, Chaitanya said, if you know something better, then go on. So then he says, Sarva Dharma Purichaja Mame Kamasharanam Raja Ahang tvang sarapape vyo mokshi syanima suchaha. Give up your duties in the vana and ashram and become renounced and just follow Krishna. Of course, this is the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago. And you wouldn't expect Lord Chaitanya to say, Ekobaya. If you know something better, please tell me. Because the idea is that just to renounce the... Of course, Lord Krishna had used that in a different way when he told Arjuna. But here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is referring that just to give up the vana ashram and renounce one's prescribed duties is escaping somewhat of a material concept of life, but there's no positive concept of life. It's just a negative concept. We don't want material life, but there's nothing positive about it. Therefore, Ramananda Roy next quotes, Brahma Bhut Prasanatma Nisho Shiti Nakangshiti Samat Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Lavate Para. Add a little something positive. This is called empiric devotional service mixed with empiric knowledge. Something positive that we're spiritual souls. And that by understanding our spiritual identity, we can become joyful. But this is still external to the real concept, because the real concept is not only we're spiritual souls, that we're not the body, but we're positively servants of Krishna. To understand that we're not the body, that we're Brahman, doesn't really tell us very much about ourselves. It just tells us what we're not, that we're not the body. So that's good to know, but it would be better to know who we really are. So Lord Chaitanya said, if you know something further, please tell me. And the verse that Lord Chaitanya finally accepted from Kali Yuga especially is Gyane, quoted by Lord Brahma, is Gyane Priyasam Urupastanamanta Eva Jivanti Sanmukaritam Bhavadiya Vartam Stani Stita Shutikatam Tanuvangmano Bir Ye Priyasa Jita Jitop Yaisisi Taisri Lokyam. While remaining one's position. In other words, generally speaking, Vana and Ashram is meant to elevate people to a higher position, in the material world at least. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was a Brahmin. And when he was asking people, he was going around, he found one, he was in Navadvip, going door to door, or shop to shop, getting donations. Because in those days, being a Brahmin meant something more than nowadays. Because we go door to door sometimes, or shop to shop, and ask for donations too, but people were not as receptive as they were to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was getting everything, flowers and pan and pan or different things. Finally he met an astrologer and he said, if you know something about me in my past life, please tell me. So this was a very good astrologer, although he didn't have any computer programs back there. Therefore, to calculate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth chart may have taken some time, but he was a very good astrologer. He simply sat there in meditation, and he could see people's past. Not so many good astrologers like that nowadays. Or, of course, people may sit there in meditation, tell you about the past, but it may not be really your past. In any case, he sat there in meditation, and suddenly he saw a big fish. And there was a big flood, and everything was... great confusion. And then he saw a tortoise. And it was holding up this big hill and all these big, big people were turning. Then he saw a half man, half lion, and there was a big fight going on. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what are you seeing? Who do you think I was? He said, well, this is a bad day for me. I haven't had such bad days lately. He said, maybe I you can come back later. No, just try again. I'm sure you'll be able to get it. And then he saw this man with this big axe and he was running around killing people. And then he thought, this is really a bad day. And he said, tell me who I was. He said, I can't, this is too much. He said, well, I know who I was. He said, in my last lifetime, I was a cowherd boy. and because of the pious activity of herding cows, in this lifetime I became a Brahmin. So this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement that if one follows the Vana and Ashram system properly, then one gets elevated. So generally people are interested in performing their religious duty, acting as a proper Vaishya or a proper Shudra or a Kshatriya, because they understood that this would elevate them ultimately towards, well, at least a higher material status, if not those who had more knowledge, towards the spiritual status or the heavenly planets or something higher. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is meant to elevate people beyond the mundane status. Therefore, he said, wherever you are, it doesn't really matter, because in Kali Yuga, more or less everyone is in the same place. Although people have the role or the duty of a Kshatriya or a Vaishya, and rarely people perform their duties properly, but whatever their duty is, it's not so important. But one should give up the tendency towards trying to make improvement by one's own endeavor. At least spiritual improvement. I mean, people may try. Even materially speaking, people are trying to improve the situation, but they don't know what real improvement is. Real improvement means to get clean water, fresh air, at least from the material point of view, nice food, nice relationships. But this is not on most people's list. Or even if it is on people's list, it's not on most people's list. And even if they want to get clean water, fresh air, nice, etc., they don't really know how to do it. If you tell them you have to perform sacrifice, they think that this is not very intelligent. Even the Green Party, I guess the Green Party is interested, is that right? They're interested in fresh water, clean air, environmental groups. But they don't really, if we tell them you have to chant Hare Krishna to get it, some people may accept, but not many people. So he said, even while remaining in your position, whatever the position is, give up the endeavor for improving it by your own intelligence. Instead, try to hear from persons who have some realization. And they get their realization from Shruti Gana, from hearing from the scripture. So we try to hear from the authorized scriptures, and then with our body, mind, and words, try to follow their directions. Then Krishna, who is within the heart, He will purify us and give us some realization so we can understand what is the real path towards material and spiritual happiness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement of the chanting the holy names has two parts to it. One part is simply to elevate people to this status where they can understand how to perform their duties properly. That's known as the external reasons for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Just to give people the intelligence how to live sanely in the material world so they can at least get the necessities of life. And the more internal reasons for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, what's called the internal reasons, is how to come back to our original spiritual life while we're chanting Hare Krishna. So the chanting Hare Krishna at least is necessary so that the weather, the rain, everything else, we provided properly so we'll get something to eat. At the end of Kali Yuga, when there's no more sacrifice, there's no more proper sunlight or rain. There is rain, but unfortunately it rains incessantly for a long, long time, so everyone drowns. That's a little too much rain. And then the sun, there is some sun after that, but it's so hot that it dries up the water and everything is like a desert. That we don't need. Proper rain, not too much or too little. Proper sunlight, not too much, too little. As they're concerned that the weather is becoming extreme. They call it the warming effect. But the warming effect is due to lack of proper understanding how to execute sacrifice. How to do our activities is a duty rather than as sinful activity. Evam pravarti tam chakra, nanu varti itihaya, agayurandriyaramo, mokam parta sajivati. That a person who doesn't perform the cycle of sacrifice certainly performs sinful activities, and a person who delights only in the senses, he lives in vain. So there is some happiness, from sense gratification, but it diminishes more and more. The more one squeezes out sense gratification without sacrifice, the more one, it diminishes until it dries up and there's nothing left. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement has two aspects, but of course the more positive begins with hearing. Hearing about the Absolute Truth, just telling people the difference between their body and their self. Unfortunately, people don't even understand that they're a soul. If they understand that they're a soul, and that the soul has a identity, it has a quality, it has a nature, it has certain desires and whatever. And those desires are different from just the material body. The soul wants to be happy. It wants to be happy forever. It wants to know how to become happy forever. If people understand that they're souls, spirit souls, that they're going to live forever, then they'll have a different direction of life. They won't think, we simply have to work for temporary things and there's nothing beyond it. Sometimes people say that people who have a spiritual knowledge, they give up working altogether. But that's not true at all. They can work harder, but their goal is different. Their goal is higher consciousness. Higher consciousness means consciousness of becoming aware of who we really are, just coming back to our original consciousness. Lower consciousness means to become absorbed in things that are not really true or valuable, called anarthas or avidya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, just hear this knowledge because it's real. When Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that the body is changing, it's not that the body changes for only a few Hare Krishnas, and that for everyone else their body doesn't change. That Krishna wasn't speaking to Arjuna 5,000 years ago. As I've said before, my dear Arjuna, unfortunately you're a Hindu, and I'm a Hindu god, and therefore I'm going to speak Hindu philosophy to you. And Hindu philosophy says that all Hindus' bodies change. And Hindu philosophy has a good, and that Hindus have to die. They have to leave their body after its final change. But luckily, because you're a Hindu, you'll get another body. But everyone else, who knows what happens to them? No, Krishna is not a Hindu god, nor does he speak, nor was Arjuna a Hindu. There was no such thing as Hindu back then. He was telling Arjuna, everyone's body is changing, whether it be a human being or a cat or a dog, Hindu, Russian, whatever, everyone's body changes. And with everybody, there's a soul, and the soul doesn't change. And the final change of the body doesn't change the soul. It wasn't changing during any change in the body anyhow. So the final change of the body doesn't make any difference to the soul. He simply gets another body. And if we examine Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll find that it's absolute. It's not simply meant for some sectarian religious group. It's meant for everyone. It is perfect knowledge. It may be misunderstood. It may be misapplied. There may be many reasons why people don't accept it. There may be things that are inconceivable to us. But still, if we examine it, in all fairness, what we can understand, we'll find is universal. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if we hear submissively, in the right way, and try to get the right understanding, not only through hearing, but through practical activity, practical activities that purify us, then the result is that Krishna becomes merciful to us, and things are revealed to us from within, by the mercy of the Supersoul. And then one can begin one's real activity of trying to find out one's spiritual identity. And then this conversation has gone on for some time. And all the way up to conjugal love and beyond conjugal love, which is up all the way up to Maharuda Bhav, feeling separation from Krishna, Sambhoga and Vipalamba, Seva, from Mahabhav and even beyond that to Srimati Radharani's feeling of separation. So this is given in the Madhya Leela because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is based principally upon feeling separation from Krishna. We are separated from Krishna. Unfortunately, we don't feel it. And because we don't feel it, we feel separation from other things. which are a little bit less than Krishna. Luckily, Krishna has come in the form of Prashadam, so we can feel separation from him in that way. But somehow or another, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is based on separation from Krishna and begins with tasting Prashadam. And that's, basically speaking, people take a little Prashadam and they say, where can I get some more of this? They get greedy for it. So in the beginning, we encourage that greed. They said in the beginning when I first came, that Prabhupada had said that you should eat so much Prashadam that you have to roll on the ground. You have to waddle like a duck, actually, that was the word. Waddle like a duck. And then I asked Prabhupada that, because I came from a slightly different background. So I asked Prabhupada that one day when he was visiting Buffalo in 69. I said, Prabhupada, at that time it was Swamiji, it wasn't Prabhupada. I said, how much Prashadam should I eat? Should I control my senses while I'm eating Prashadam? Prabhupada just looked at me and started to laugh. And he said, oh, for you, he said, you can eat as much as you want. He said, but don't fill yourself up to here. And he just started to laugh. That was my relationship with Prabhupada back then. Everything I asked him, he'd laugh. I asked Prabhupada, I said, if Krishna wants me to do something and Krishna doesn't want me to do something, how do I know what Krishna wants me to do? And Prabhupada just started to laugh. He said, you won't know what to do. He said, you'll do the wrong thing. The nice part was that Prabhupada started to laugh and everyone else started to laugh too, was in the room, a few devotees. And then Prabhupada looked at me very compassionate because he didn't want me to get disturbed. So I think we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Maybe if you can tell me if in the spiritual world we also have separation from Krishna? Do you live suddenly?
Yes. It's there. That's eternally there, those two moods. Even Radha and Krishna are together, but sometimes they feel separation from each other. One time Radha and Krishna were together in the groves of Vrindavan, and one bumblebee came, who's known as Madhu, because they drink. They make honey, so they're also known as Madhu. And at this time, the bumblebee started to disturb Srimati Radharani. She became, and so out of nowhere, Madhu Mangala came to chase the bee away. And he started to cry out, Madhu is gone, Madhu is gone. So Madhu is a name for Krishna. So Srimati Radharani, hearing that Madhu is gone, thought that Krishna had gone. And she began to feel separation. And tears of love and separation came from her eyes, although Krishna was sitting right next to her. And Krishna, seeing this, he also began to cry. And their tears formed a lake known as Prema Sarovara. So that's also in the spiritual world. Yes. Yes, we're called Rupanugas. He's actually the principal acharya within our line of the simple succession. Therefore we say, when will Rupa Goswami bestow his mercy upon me so I can be engaged in the Sankirtan movement? How's that go? Unobhistam stapitam yena bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. When will Rupa Goswami give me the shade of his lotus feet so they can actually participate in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Therefore, our principal literature from the Goswamis is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Prabhupada has given us a summary study of the nectar of devotion. After reading Bhagavad Gita, we take shelter of the nectar of devotion, for instance, or nectar of instruction, or other books given by the Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. So they've compiled this literature just suitable for us in this particular age, and Prabhupada is presenting it. Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Mm-hmm.